Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. I'm Greg Hahn, President and Chief Investment Officer for Winthrop Capital Management. And with me today is Adam Coons, Head of Trading and works with me on Portfolio Management. Adam, good morning.
Morning.
All right, we got a lot to cover this morning. Not a dull week last week, and this week is going to be pretty interesting as well since the Democratic Convention kicks off today virtually up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. All right, let me cover the economy, and then we'll talk a little bit about portfolio models, equities, and we also need to talk about what's going on with inflation. So we are seeing signs of progress in the economy. So last week, the Commerce Department reported that retail sales rose 1.2% for July, and that was helped by the $600 per week jobless benefit that Congress had passed as part of the CARES Act. And so all of that went into spending for electronics, appliances, beauty products, even restaurant meal takeout. And then now through an executive order, President Trump announced a $300 per week benefit. That's, I think, where it settled out. However, it's not expected to be implemented for distribution for several weeks, just because of the complexity of the system and getting things programmed, I guess, to get it out. So there's this gap that's going to happen between when people need the benefit and actually being able to spend it. And here's the critical issue, and it leads to the other release last week, was the Labor Department reported that applications for unemployment dipped to below a million number of workers receiving unemployment benefits. The absolute number of people receiving unemployment benefits declined to 15.5 million. So this is the first time that we've been under a million since the pandemic hit back in March. So that's improvement, but these are still terrible numbers by any historic measure. And it needs some assistance in order to get money into people's hands to maintain the consumption levels that we're seeing based on the retail sales. So it's kind of the yin and the yang. And what's happened is Congress can't agree on what that stimulus package should look like. So they just took two weeks off. So part of that, in fairness, is the convention. Yeah, we're kind of at a standstill. And so time is ticking, because the more decay that takes place, the more that consumers who really, really need this money will start using credit cards and can't find work. So then we're going to see missed rent payments and more defaults. And it's going to spiral quickly. So that's kind of where we're at. And that's our concern, is this is, again, our base case is that this economic recovery is going to be it's going to be really slow. Do you know who Carl Lewis is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Carl Lewis. I guess that was like the 1980 Olympics. But if you ask Carl Lewis to run the 100-yard dash in 20 minutes, and he comes in at 10 minutes, that's like really that's a big improvement. But his potential is about 40 seconds. And that's what's going on with our economy. Our economy has more potential, but we can't get it. We can't get it up to, our economy is running at 20 minutes. We just saw it get to 10 minutes, but the potential is 40 seconds in Carl Lewis's terms. I don't know if that's a great analogy or not, but
I think it's close enough. Yeah.
I got to tell you about the movie I'm watching too, but go, you take over from here.
So equity markets up again last week. S&P 500 was up 64 basis points. So that puts the year-to-date gain on the S&P 500 at 4.4%. Keep talking and hounding on the fact that technology is really leading this. So something I wanted to look at, and over the weekend did a little bit of work. So basically took all the companies in the technology sector, mm-hmm. took all the stocks that used to be in the technology sector. So you got Google, Facebook, Netflix, and then took those companies that are in consumer discretionary that I think we would classify as tech. So Amazon, Expedia, Priceline, companies that are internet based. And we add all those up, it comes up to 39.5%.
Yep.
So we were pretty much spot on where we thought it was going to land. that was probably not a big surprise, as you know, obviously more and more companies are moving towards being a technology type company. And one company that's not even in the S&P 500 that I would argue could be in that would be Tesla. Yeah, and I would classify that as a technology company, not an auto. So when you really start to look at what's driving the S&P 500, it's anything that's really tech oriented. It's not just the tech sector, but it's overwhelming the size and really shape of the index when you've seen these other sectors just really become absolutely nothing as a percentage of the S&P 500.
So speaking of technology, let's talk about Steinmart. Yeah. My wife and I have this ongoing joke about Steinmart. Steinmart actually is a great store, but I've always kind of associated it with white belts,
sure,
and polyester pants for men. I'm going to confess on this call that I do shop at Steinmart, but I filed for bankruptcy last week. So they're going to close somewhat 260 stores. And the reason it relates to technology is the companies, the retail that has access to online technology are the winners. And then the Hall of Fame of retail that's filed for bankruptcy in Steinmart now, the latest, is just growing. And so these are companies that weren't able to compete online. And then did you see Brooks Brothers?
Yeah.
So Simon Malls bid in bankruptcy for Brooks Brothers. So they increased their bid last week to $325 million, which was accepted. So now Simon Property Group, a shift in their business model now from just a landlord, is now the player owner coach. That's a nod to semi-pro. They are now the owner of retail. So that looks like they're tactically picking up retail, which is, I think, going to be a brilliant move on their part.
Yeah.
So those are two big events last week.
Interesting. So overall, yeah, just stocks continue to kind of grind higher. We saw a pickup in stocks just in general as the assumption that we would get another stimulus check has continued to increase despite the fact that they have taken a break. So really that's driving stocks and to inflation. We saw a consumer price index increase as well. So that seems to kind of be a back-end theme that we're going to discuss here in a minute. On fixed income markets, a pretty big move in rates last week on a piggybacking on that increase in CPI. So the 10-year treasury went from 54 basis points to 71 basis points. But really what I'm seeing here, this is more of a technical move, kind of treasuries have become pretty range bound and now it's just kind of moved towards that upper bound. I don't really think this has anything to do with people thinking growth is reaccelerating or inflation is coming. Mm. But you know, when you look at fixed income markets, the LQD, which is the investment grade ETF, is up 7.5%. Short-term corporates are up 3% year-to-date. So, spread contraction has really led to pretty good performance out of fixed income. And I was also doing some work this weekend because I just assumed over March and April that the correlation of these two ETFs was pretty high to the S&P 500. And it still only came in at 30.35. So I was really surprised by that. I guess it just... This is the corporate LQD, which is the investment grade corporate credit ETF, and then SPSB, which is the 3-year.
Yep. They're not correlated to the S&P.
No. And like I said, I just took that small snapshot because it seemed, if you were in the market, it seemed like everything was just unwinding at the same time. But just a good indicator on how fixed income is still a very uncorrelated asset class to stocks, despite the fact that it did have some drawdown. So just a note there.
So the S&P 500 is up 4.4% year to date. We are a hair's breadth away from its record level.
Yep.
Yet the economy is limping along. So this is all built on stimulus and expectations that we think are 3 to 4 years out. But we acknowledge there's improvement. So we have seen a shift from this tech into more cyclical sectors. So far this month, we've seen the utility and financials have been leading the pack. So we do expect there's going to be a shift. The question is it sustained. One of the themes you're going to hear from us over the second half of the year is sustained economic growth. And this happened after the financial crisis. It took 3 years to really experience what sustained economic growth was, and the Fed and the government basically backing off of its support. So we've got massive, massive support for the economy right now. So time will tell. But part of that then, as it relates to our portfolio models, is the shifts that we're going to make.
Yeah,
let's talk about that a little bit.
So just really quickly to stick on fixed income, the one thing we're doing is continuing to diversify away from credit as spreads have tightened. So last week we took up the MBS and the TIPS part of the portfolio. Like I said, this is just more of a diversifier. On the equity side, we in the large cap space, we continue to move towards low volatility strategies. Really trying to move away from the concentration that you get from the big six and the S&P 500.
And tech.
But additionally, something we started to talk about last week was small and mid-cap and when the time to begin to increase the allocation there. It's a tough conversation because those sectors still are beaten down or well underwater for the year. But as you're saying, if you see stimulus checks go out and that kind of prop up the economy and the consumer, it's going to eventually bleed into the smaller businesses.
So I think we're close. I think this may be a head fake, but at some point we're going to move through this. And I think that the U.S., and it's all dependent on the coronavirus, the ability to control the spread of the virus and not have our economy limp along because of barriers as a result of social distancing and other measures, but some way to control the virus. And I think the market's expectation is we're pretty close. So
yeah, there's a point where people just get fed up too.
Right. So before we talk about inflation, so I started watching this movie with my wife called The Peanut Butter Falcon on Netflix. I can't even describe the movie, but it is actually a really enjoyable movie. So we're enjoying it. Is there anything that you've been watching? You've got kids, so you really can't.
The details? I don't know.
But I'm embarrassed to tell you, man, we've been through Dead to Me. We just finished up. I can't even say it on this podcast, but Schitt's Creek. We just finished. And then we had watched, my daughter wanted to watch this. What is the South Carolina one I forget what it's called. Anyway, that's my Netflix watch now. So that's I recommend that movie. Let's talk about inflation. So why isn't inflation picking up, or should we be worried about inflation? So do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, like I said, the headline number showed inflation pick up, but once again, it was one of those relative. It was still very low, and it was coming off of a pretty weak number prior month. From what I'm seeing is that, how can you have inflation when you've had these massive demand shocks? So if consumers are demanding less goods and can buy less and their economic outlook is weaker, then essentially the price of those goods is going to go down.
So CPI was up 0.6 last week. For July. So last week, the Commerce or the Labor Statistics Department, Bureau of Labor Statistics, released CPI at 0.6, which was the same for June. So, but it's only 1% on an annualized basis. So we are seeing a pickup during these COVID affected months for CPI for June and July. But again, the question is it sustainable without government support? Because you got to put money into people's hands for them to spend goods, right?
Right.
But I think there's a number of factors that are affecting this inflation, and the complicated one is what the Fed's balance sheet is doing in excess reserves that are on the balance sheet and how that's impacting the market. But from a more of a globalization standpoint, we still have, even though that there's been this push to move back to America and take things out of China, manufactured out of China, there still is this imprint of globalization over the last two decades that's really forced more efficiencies and lower costs for goods sold in the United States. The internet has been a phenomenal tool for increased productivity and better price transparency, which has forced prices down. So And then we've seen major shifts in the labor market because of increased globalization and also due to technology. So, and one example is decline in unions, membership in unions, which are keeping wages lower. So there's the, both a price inflation impact and a wage inflation impact. But we'll, I think our because of the slack resources that are in the system right now, our base case is that the Fed is going to struggle to get inflation up to 2%. And if they can, they're going to let it run hot. So I don't think we're going to hear any dialogue from the Fed about capping, trying to cap inflation.
I don't know what it is.
But so that, then that comes back to what does that mean for bond investors? And I think the challenge for public, publicly traded assets is valuations are still very, very toppy. And it's going to be a challenge in certain sectors of the fixed income market just because of that. So, all right. Any closing thoughts?
Just a couple of technical things on the inflation side is if you look at savings rate, it spiked to 30%. It still is above 20%. So you can't really have inflation when people are saving that much money. And then if you look at the velocity of money, which is getting a little nerdy here, but it continues to decline. So while money supply has increased, the velocity of it is declining sharply. So mm-hmm. less money moving around should kind of cap where inflation could go.
Yep. Thanks, Adam. We are around all week. So if you got any questions, please give us a call, and you guys have a great week. We'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.